This is a very important topic, very complicated. What is the status of a company in halacha? In Hebrew, here in Israel, a chevra is a company, and it's called be'eravon mugbal, which means it has limited liability. Now, the control and the decision-making process in a company is broken down into different elements. There are very limited decision-making powers that are granted to the owners of, let's say, the stocks. For example, if, let's say, I own 51% of the stock of a company, I may gain certain decision-making powers, but at least here in Israel, that's not enough. There's something called a Moetzet HaMenahalim, which means that there's a group of people that serve on a committee, and they are empowered to make the decisions and set up the policies for that company. In addition, there's something called the Menahel HaChevra, otherwise known as the Mankal, and he has certain decision-making process on a day-to-day basis. Major decisions from time to time may be given over to the Moetzet Menahalim, otherwise known as the Directorion, but on a daily basis, it's the Menahel who makes the decisions. Those who own the stocks in the company, they may have rights and ownership rights in the company, but they have very limited decision-making policy. Now, we're going to soon see that the non-Jewish courts in the Western part of the world had to make a decision about the status of firms, of companies with limited liability, whether or not they recognized such an entity, and it took probably about 200 years of legal decision-making process until they finally, about 100 years ago, in Great Britain, they decided to recognize this concept, which means that the owners of the company are not personally liable or responsible for any debts that are incurred by the company. The only way that the creditors, or the, what we would call the Balei Chov, could collect from the company would only be from the actual nechasim, that means the property that the company owns. But once you clean out the company of any property that it owns, let's say the very last piece of clothing has been sold on the market, the very last piece of furniture in the office has been already taken away, now you want to go after the owners of the company who have stocks, the shareholders. You can't do that. And we're going to see that in a minute. It's interesting that the Tshuva Svarim, who want to analyze the halachic definition, or does the halacha recognize a company as an entity, they actually quote the secular courts and mention quite a bit about what went on within those courts. So the main issue that we have to focus on is what we call achrayut. Achrayut or achrayus is a concept that jumps out of us from the world of Choshen Mishpat specifically, or I should say not specifically, but more commonly in the discussion about a malveh and a loveh. Obviously the loveh is personally responsible to pay up his debt to the malveh. That's called a shibud haguf. In addition to that, the shibud haguf is only a kind of a moral responsibility. It's more like a mitzvah than anything else. But in terms of financially guaranteeing the bal chov, the malveh, that he'll get his money, we have what's called a shibud nechasim. That's not a shibud haguf. A shibud nechasim means that the bal chov owns, to some extent, the property, the possessions of the loveh, and that's called a lien in English, L-I-E-N, or otherwise known as a shibud. Obviously, the malveh has recourse to collect that shibud directly from the loveh. If the loveh defaults on the loan, the malveh collects from the possessions of the loveh, but does that personal achrayus, which is called shibud, does it apply to what we call a chevra or a company. And this is something that the poskim have to deal with, because even if the secular law recognizes limited liability, that doesn't mean that halacha recognizes limited liability. Again, we're going to obviously have to get into issues like, for example, dina de malchusa dina, which means that the halacha does recognize the secular definitions in the areas of monetary law. However, keep in mind, for example, here in Israel, we assume, as a general rule, that dina de malchusa dina does not necessarily apply. That's the Shita Saran. But I don't want to get off on a tangent about dina de malchusa dina, because first in this introduction, I just want to draw some of the sketch, you know, the lines and some of the framework for our discussion. The secular definition here in the state of Israel of a company is called Ishiyut Mishpatit Nifredet, which means it's a separate, independent entity that has its own identity. It's not you, it's not me, it's not Reuven, it's not Shimon, it's not even the conglomeration of all these people together, which is called in Hebrew Shutafut. In other words, the ownership of the company is not identical with partnership, because in a partnership agreement, basically each owner is personally responsible relative to his partnership agreement. In other words, to what a share or whatever percentage he has in the shutfus. We're talking about a new entity that's independent of shutfim, that doesn't belong to anyone. And there's no one particular individual, nor the entire amalgamation or this whole group of individuals who are responsible. And that means, for example, that a company at a certain point can declare bankruptcy and you can't go after the owners or the shareholders of the company. What does the halacha say about this? Now, let's keep in mind a few principles in halacha. We mentioned dina de malchusa dina. There's another important principle which is called simtuta. Normally, kinyanim work in dini mamonos and choshen mishpat within very definite, defined categories, and there are rules and regulations. You know, there's metaltalin, there's kinyanim karka. However, there's something that goes above all of that, and that's called simtuta, which means that if there's an agreement of an accepted minog, a certain tradition within a particular society, that a particular symbolic act can replace a kinyan. You may realize that in the Bursa, for example, in Tel Aviv, you know, if we clinch a deal on the sale of a diamond, and we say, you know, the magic abracadabric words, you know, if you say Mazel Tov, or you say Mabruk, you know, that is an absolutely binding kinyan. In some cases, a handshake is itself binding. That's called a situmta. And the question is, does the situmta indicate that we have a basis, a foundation, halacha, that in Dine Mominus, there's almost like a hefker belt, that above and beyond all the structures and regulations but how to do a kinyan, there's something that could be agreed upon within a society, and that substitutes for a kinyan. Another concept which is very important is called tnai. Now, normally, tnai works again within the limitations and the framework of halacha, the way the Torah defines it. For example, I can't enter into a marriage relationship and say, well, there's no sher ksus viona in this marriage. That would be masnal mashakos of the Torah. And tno batel. But there is such a thing as kol tnai shebimavon kayam. So, for example, I could be a shomer chinam, and even though shomer chinam is potter for gnei vaveda, we can decide that within the framework of our condition, I become chayav like a shomer sachar. Or for that matter, in the flip way, you could say that the shomer sachar can make a condition that he will not take on the responsibility of a shomer sachar for gnei vaveda. He becomes a shomer chinam, and that's called masnal mashakos of the Torah. So we see that the halacha itself has this flexibility, allowing individuals to create a certain, shall we say, to alleviate the responsibility, the achrayus that the Torah sketches out for us. That's only a blueprint, but we have the right to step in and alter those levels of achrayus and say, "Well, I don't want the achrayus of a shomer sacher." And if you accept it, you're the bailim, you're the mafkid, then I become alleviated of that. So these are some of the very important concepts that we have to address. Then, for example, there's something called the ownership of Hegdesh. That's something that's very central in Allah. You can go on and cover, you know, major chunks of major Masechtas and Shas about the ownership of Hegdesh. Well, who owns Hegdesh? Do you own it? Do I own it? Is it the conglomeration of all the Jewish people at one particular moment in time? Is it owned by the Beis HaMikdash? What is it? Then we have another concept called Mamon HaTzibur. For example, the Beis Knesset belongs to a tzibur. And if the members of a particular city decide that they want to sell a Beis Knesset, then you have to assume that each member of the community has his own personal ownership in the Beis Knesset, and in certain cases that might be correct. But then you have something which the Gemara Megillah Daf Chavav establishes as a Beis Knesset shel krach. Krach is a gigantic metropolis, and in such a case, you have no possibility of selling the Beis Knesset. Why? Because no one has personal ownership. So who owns the Beis Knesset? And that becomes a concept called Mamon HaTzibur. So there are sort of precedents or entities within Halacha that possibly could serve as models for this Ishiyut Mishpatit Atzmait, which is called a limited liability company. And this is what the poskim want to define. What I find as the most fascinating concept in Choshei Mishpat, which might be similar to a company, is what we call Tfusas Habayis. What's that? When a man dies and he leaves Yarshim, there's a period of time between his death and what we call the Chalukas HaYerusha, before the actual assignment of the estate, where, you know, this son will get two portions and this son will get another portion, etc., etc. In that middle situation, the Rashbam, at least, is of the opinion in Baba Basra that none of the Yarshim have the ability to sell their chelik in the Yerusha. And as at this point, no individual member of the heirs has ownership. So that's a fascinating concept. There's also a concept called Mamon HaShevet, where things are owned by the entire Shevet. Nobody owns that. For example, you can have a situation where the majority of a Shevet worships an idol, and they're chayev what's called a parhel and dover shel tzibur, but that parhel and dover shel tzibur, if there was a shogeg because they misunderstood the horas bezdin, would be brought by the shevet. And if it's owned, not in the general sense of hegdesh like a korban tzibur, but it's owned by the shevet as a shevet. And the question is whether there's shinu bailim, if you can imagine a situation where a member of that shevet shechts the karbon on behalf of someone in another shevet, whether or not that would be shinui bailim. The most fascinating thing in my mind about this concept of a company is that the poskim actually created a new concept, which I don't even know where it comes from. Maybe at the end of the shiur we'll figure it out. And that is called ba'alut klusha, a weaker kind of bailus. I always understood that bailus is either black or white. It's either 100% or it's zero. You can have shutfim, but each shutf has total ownership on his shutfis. Now we have a new concept where the bailus, the ownership, is somehow filtered out and watered down such that each individual member of the company has a bailus, but it's a weaker kind of bailus. And again, the nafkamina is going to be that based on that weakening of the bailus, the person no longer has personal liability, personal achrayus. So, for example, just to mention five issues regarding companies. The first issue we want to mention is the following. can a company be sued for theft? Or the flip side of that is, can we be tried by a company? Can we be, can the company become a plaintiff and sue us for theft? Well, who did we steal from? We stole from this independent conceptual entity called a chevra. Question number two, is there an isa ribis? Let's say the company lends money and receives interest. Question number three, what if the company owns chametz during Pesach? Do we violate Bal Yeroa Bal Yemotzeh? Should we say, well, there's this new independent entity called an ownership of a chevra, and no one owns the chametz, and therefore there's no Bal Yeroa Bal Yemotzeh? Another issue which comes up is, what happens if there are members of the company who nebuch amachal Shabbos, the Jews who violate the Shabbos, or they do business with Isurei Hanah? Like, let's say, for example, would I be able to own a franchise for McDonald's and they sell basar b'chalav, they sell cheeseburgers? Again, other issues that come up that are a little bit less important are, let's say, tefilas kelim. Am I allowed to eat from kelim that belong to a restaurant that's owned by a company which is a Jewish company, and these kelim were never brought to the mikvah? Well, the law is that the owner of a kli has to tovel the kli in the mikvah, but who is the owner of this kli that's owned by the entire chevra? So these are some of the basic issues. Now, you may notice that on page 1 of your Mar Makomos page, you have a tshuva, just one second, from the Minchas Osher. The Minchas Osher, Rav Osher Zelig Weiss, is a very popular figure here amongst the Talmidei Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael. He actually hails from good old Brooklyn, New York, but in any event, here in Israel, he has become like a guru. He is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he lectures everywhere. He has no political compunctions. He'll give a shiur for a Hezder Yeshiva, for a Mizrahi organization. He's part of the Aguda world. He's Hasidish because he's part of the Kleisenberger world, but yet, he's a first class Lamdan in the classical Litvische sense of Lamdus. And he wrote an article which you'll see on the bottom of your page 1, which is called Ma'amada Shel Chevra Be'iravon Mugbal Al Pi Halacha, the status of a company that's limited liability according to Halacha. And he answers a question about whether or not a Jew is allowed to buy most of the shares of a bank in America, knowing full well that many of the people who are involved in that bank and even borrow money from the bank, because the bank gives out money, are paying ribis. Does your ownership in the shares therefore implicate you in a violation of the Doraisa of ribis? And you'll see on the bottom of your page 1 a section that's called Ma'amadam Shel Balei Amniyot. What is the status of those who own stock in a company? Are they considered owners of the company, and therefore they would violate, if they own a bank that's lending beribis, the Isur of ribis? So let's mention a little bit about the secular law. We're going back 100 years in time to Great Britain. And the case there, which became a major case in the history of law, and you guessed it, it involves a Jew. His name was Aaron Solomon. And he owned a geschäft in which he sold hides. He sold leather and all sorts of things like that. And he defined himself as a company with limited liability. And the question is, would the British legal system recognize his company as an entity, a legal entity of itself? It has a life or an independence of its own. And what happened was that as a result of different conditions in the market, his ASEC fell apart. It collapsed. And as a result, he had to sell, as the major stock owner in this company, whatever was left in the company, whatever, in order to pay the debts. And now some of the debtors are after him. He's the major share owner. He actually was the CEO of the company, created the company. They want him to fork up money for the debts that company incurred. And this came to the highest court in the land of Britain, and they issued a verdict that this fellow by the name of Solomon is allowed to sell the company at any price that he can get, and after the sale he becomes nothing more than a manager, and he has no personal liability whatsoever because the company is defined as an independent entity in the financial market without any personal responsibility. They can only collect from the possessions and the monies that accrue to the company, but not from Mr. Solomon himself. And that's called, hence, limited liability. The company has limited liability. It is only liable, it only has a chrius for as far as its ownership of possessions, but not on a personal basis. It's almost like you can differentiate between the chefta and the gavra. The company here becomes like a chefta, but the owners of the company, the gavras, are completely exempt from any responsibility. So this is great. I mean, in a modern contemporary financial market, it's great. I open up a company, I apply for recognition as a limited liability company, and I no longer have personal responsibility. No one could come after me. And my friends, this became an issue in halacha over the course of decades with regard to yeshivot. For example, a yeshiva will apply for recognition by the Israeli government as a company, and therefore the members of the committee of the administration of the yeshiva can do whatever they have to do in order to keep the yeshiva up and running. A yeshiva is not necessarily known as a great financial investment. You know, you're lucky if the students are paying tuition, or at least half tuition, and every Yankel Beryl is asking for a scholarship, and after a while, if the committee or the administration is not running the yeshiva financially properly, and they keep incurring more debts, at some point they're going to have to close the yeshiva. The debtors are after them. They want to, they've been, sometimes you push off the what they call the pakachim. You know, you tell them, okay, I owe you for all the meat that you've delivered, or all the food and so forth, you know, over the course of 6 months. You see, they've been granted a forward in credit. Now after 6 months, the yeshiva goes down, and these people never want to get paid for monies that they spent. So the yeshiva declares bankruptcy, Shalom al Yisrael, limited liability. And this is what happens, that all these different elements within the company that are controlling the company, making the decisions, when at the end of the day, there's no, according to the secular law, there's no single person who is responsible for the debts of the company. And as we said before, this is going to have implications if we accept this definition halachically, in terms of ribis, in terms of chol Shabbos, in terms of basa b'cholav, yisurei hanah, in terms of chametz b'pesach, in terms of all sorts of laws of kinyanim, etc., etc., etc. So you can imagine, Rabosai, that a lot here is at stake. We're not dealing with a particular issue or a shaila that comes up in front of a particular posek. We're dealing with a policy decision that really cuts through to the very core of what halacha is all about. Because now all the Western countries have already accepted this position. They've legalized and recognized the status of a company that has limited liability, and it is defined as an independent entity with its own personality, its own identity. What does the halacha say about that? Can halacha say that since legally we've created a company, it's no longer a bunch of shutfim that have gotten together, each one with their own personal ownership and responsibility? It becomes something of a new entity, and if it is, what is that entity? I think the most radical approach to this topic, which you'll see on page 4, that's quoted in an article here by Rav Yaakov Avram Cohen, is the approach of the Rugachevah. You all know that about 100 years ago, well, a little bit more, there was a great Gaon, Rav Yosef Rosen, in the city of Rugachev. He was actually in the city of Dvinsk, but he came from Rugachev. And he was a genius of geniuses. And he's quoted here on page 4, in the middle column on the bottom of your page, V'hinei b'meshach hadoros achronim k'du ayu g'dolei poskim shenotu la'ameitz, they came to accept and embrace the opinion gam, are you with me? Gam alpi torasenu hakdosha, even according to the Torah, the definition of this new kind of ownership, which is called the ownership of a company. Okay then? Okay, fine. Okay, alright, you want to call me, I want to call you. We'll try to make a pshara and meet halfway. So whether I come to you or you come to me, we'll meet halfway. Have we met halfway? Shake your head if you hear me. Oh, okay, that's good. As long as
you don't see me.
Okay, you don't have to see me. I'm not that beautiful. You know. Okay, thank you, but I'll tell my wife about this but time takes its toll, and you know, we're not as good looking as we used to be, but as long as you can hear my voice, I thank Hashem for the Siyata Dishmaya that I still have a voice, because last week at this time I didn't have much of a voice. Anyway, he quotes the Rugachevah. The Rugachevah is talking about a bank. And he says about a bank that there's something called Tug Tzinsin. Tug Tzinsin is a daily interest that's charged to those who borrow money from a bank. By the way, you can flip it around. The bank also is borrowing money, correct? When you deposit money in a bank, the bank is going to be charged rivis as a lover. And he writes the following, that there's a Gemara Minachos that says ein rivis lehegdesh, that with regard to hegdesh, which is a new form or a new entity of ownership, there's no iser rivis. And he says the following. We could go beyond that and say the shibud, any sort of debt, can only apply la'adam misuyam, to a specific person. Hegdesh is not a reality, it's not, you know, tangible. Hegdesh is abstract. He calls it a tsura, as opposed to mitzius. Mitzius means, you know, you can look at Reuven, he owns his share, and Shimon owns his share, that's tangible. But there's something called a tsura. It's not chomer, it's tsura. These are words that are borrowed from the lexicon of the philosophers that date back to the Rambam in the Morah Nevuchim, chomer and tsura. Comes along the Rugachevah and he says that a bank is tsura. It's not chomer. It's not something specific. It's not owned by any particular individuals. It's a conglomerate ownership that's independent of the individual shareholders. And therefore, there is no specific shibud, there is no violation of the Issur Ribbis, and as far as ownership of the bank, there's no such thing as individual ownership on its tsura. Because just like Hegdesh is a tsura, so too a bank is a tsura. There's no chomer and there's no one Mesuyam who can claim ownership, and therefore there's no Isur Ribis if the bank is getting rich or what have you. And it's very fascinating to me that of all people who would take a very radical position in recognizing a company as a Ishiyut Mishpatit Nifredet, as we said before, without alleviating the company of any Issur Ribis, it would be the Rugachova. You know, that's like coming out of left field. You know, who would think the Rugachova would be the one to break new ice? But this Rav Avram Cohen, Yaakov Avram Cohen, he found another source for the halachic recognition of a company as an independent entity in the Maram Shik. Now, the Maram Shik is a little bit more of a classical commentary and posek. And he speaks about what's called a kupat chisachon. It's another form of like a bank. It's a company in which you deposit money and they take care of your money and they invest your money and so forth and so on. And the Maram Shik writes about this company, Ein Kan Loveh. That's a very interesting language. Ein Kan Loveh. What does that mean? There is someone who's borrowing money here, right? Let's say the company is borrowing money from people who want to invest in the company, and the company is guaranteeing that they'll get a return and dividends on their money. Why is that not a loveh? And the answer is because Einam Begeder Mamon Yisrael. There's no Mamon Yisrael. There's no individual ownership or even a partnership according to the Maram Shik. Now, the Maram Shik didn't go a step further. That's where we needed the Rugachova. He said that in the negative, he said there's no private ownership on the company, but he doesn't tell us who does own the company. That's where the Rugachova comes in. He says just like Hegdesh owns all the Mamon Hegdesh, just like there's a concept of a Tzura, or in the Rugachova's case, a bank, so too this Kupat Chisachon is an entity unto itself that owns whatever it owns. And therefore, it comes out that if a company that's owned by many Jewish Orthodox shareholders owns chametz on Pesach, or if the shareholders in a company that violates the Shabbos and therefore is getting profit from what's called Schar Shabbos, or for that matter, if the company is selling any sort of Isuri Ana, you know, Shkatzim, Veramasim, and Basim Acholav, and so forth, that normally under the law of a yachid would be a violation of very severe isurim shel Torah, in this case of a company, because the company doesn't have any single bailim, so the Torah doesn't address itself to this entity and say, well, you as an entity, as a company, cannot own chametz or cannot do business on Shabbos. The Torah never said that. The Torah turns to Reuven, Shimon, or Levi and says, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of Bas B'cholov or Schar Shabbos. But this entity, which is called an Ishiyut Mishpatit Nifredet, is not something which the halacha turns to with a prohibition or any sort of an Issur. Joe?
And he doesn't make a difference between how many shares the person owns?
And it makes no difference how many shares the person owns. As long as the company is defined as a company, it's irrelevant. The company is a new form of bailus, a new ownership, but it's not an ownership of an individual, nor a conglomeration, a massive number of many individuals. It's just an entity unto itself, and that entity is not liable for any violations of Torah law. Now, what you'll find fascinating here is that we started with a presentation by Rav Weiss, Rav Asher Zelig Weiss, and he's going to reject all the logical arguments that we have put forth here in the name of the Maram Shik, in the name of the Rugachova. But at the end of the day, he's going to come to the conclusion, halacha lemaisa, that although these companies should avoid these violations, but technically, it's not a violation. So let's get back to that in just a minute. Says the Rav Weiss, and you can see this on the bottom of page 1. He says that because of the severity of Isa Ribis, we should be very careful and figure out a way of avoiding any sort of violation of the Isa Ribis. And therefore he writes, Sof Davar Nirlani is Daiti, Chevrashahi Bibailim Shal Atzma. And here he says something wild. You got to really hold on to your chair for this one. Even if I grant you that the chevra is some sort of independent entity unto itself, which is above the, you know, the sach hakol, the amalgamation of all the individuals, nevertheless, any mitzvah sichlis, any mitzvah which the Torah gave that's logical and rational, which he calls mitzvos beinonim lechavero, those have to apply even to a company. Why? Because they're logical. And if they're logical, no one could be above a logical law. And therefore, as a result, the company is enjoined from stealing, from overcharging someone, which is called onah, and they have to go. He says, "Tzarech lehisnaig b'darchei hatzedek v'hayosher." Then there's no question that this new entity, this goof, that is going to make decisions that are relevant to other people's monies, they have to be guided and bound by the laws of justice and goodness and yosher, as the Torah formulates them. Why? Because that set of laws are mitzvot sichlios. But if you're talking about a mitzvah that's not sichlis, if you're talking about Chil Shabbos or Schar Shabbos, if you're talking about Chometz B'Pesach, if you're talking about Ribbis, and again I have a lot to say about Ribbis, because Ribbis is not rational. People think it is, but it's not. It's Gzeiras HaKosuv. Then, in such a case, the Chevra as a separate entity, an identity unto itself, is not bound and not liable for any of those mitzvos that are bein adam lamakom. Now, I don't know how many pages you might have in front of you, but there's something called Piskei Din Rabbaniim, which is an anthology of decisions and opinions that were formulated by the various Batei Din here in the land of Israel. That's called Piskei Din Rabbanim. Now, one of the great Rabbanim who sits on the Beis Din of Choshei Mishpat here in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Dychovsky, and he sits on a Beis Din together with two other great scholars, Symbolist and Azulai. I think I knew Symbolist, I'm not sure, but I don't know if I ever knew Dychovsky, although one of the members of his family, actually the shul I davened in Hardof, is named after him. But anyway, so this Rav Dychovsky, his name is Shlomo, writes, and this you'll see on page 6, HaChevra hi ishiyut mishpatit nefredet. He has no qualms about the halacha recognizing the status of a company as an independent personality. And therefore he says, halacha lemaisa, there was a claim against the yarshim. Let's say the company was owned by X number of people. Those people died. And now there are people who are claiming in court against the Yarshim, because if there's a chov of my father and he dies without paying the chov, I as the heir have to pay that chov. Says Rav Dychovsky, Ein liros es ha-yarshim. We don't view the Yarshim as the normal case of Yarshim Yisomim. Why? Because you can only be tovea the chevra itself, but not the owners of the company, because the chevra itself is an entity unto itself. It has a limited liability, and it can never die. And here, he incurs a little bit of the wrath of some of the other members of his own court, and they go into an entire analysis about what's called tzibur. Now, the Ramban in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, when he speaks about a Karban Yachid as opposed to Karban Tzibur, because a Karban Yachid needs smicha, whereas a Karban Tzibur doesn't have smicha. So the Ramban asks, what's the difference between Shutfim and Tzibur? So the Ramban writes that the case of Shutfim means that every single individual member of this Shutfis owns his personal chelek, his personal allotted portion, whereas tzibur is not owned by anyone. And my Rebbe Rav Salvechik used to always say, based on this Ramban, that he was opposed to the heter mechira on shvius. Some say that's why he refused to present his candidacy for chief rabbi, because back in the day, you know, there's no such thing as a chief rabbi who didn't endorse the heter mechira of shvius. It was impossible. But the Rav couldn't get himself to agree to the heter shvius because he held that the ownership of Eretz Yisrael is not shutfis, it's not the sach hakol of all the individual members of Klal Yisrael, but rather it's the ownership of the tzibur, and the tzibur owns Eretz Yisrael from the time of Avraham Avinu, and they can't sell that ownership. That ownership belongs to this abstract identity called the tzibur. But in any event, getting back to this, one of the colleagues on the same Bezdin, his name is Rav Shol Weingrot, he says that what he thinks Rav Dichovsky is doing is he's taking the concept of tzibur and he's applying it to this chevra, to this concept called a company. And he writes the following. He says, Hayevdel ha-mishpati ben shutfim levein tzibur, in the case of a partnership, it's full-fledged ownership. It's a separate legal entity. So the shutafim are part of this entity, but they don't have any independent ownership. In other words, the prat is, so to speak, batel to the klal, and he has no status. And he accuses Dichovsky of identifying a chevra as a tzibur. The Gemara says in Horius, ein misa b'tzibur, that a tzibur continues to exist because it connects all of Klal Yisrael throughout all the generations to all of eternity. And the same thing, according to Rav Dichovsky, applies to a chevra. So even though all the members and owners and shareholders of the chevra died, the chevra still exists on its own. So there's no Yerusha here, there's no Yorshim. And he says the following, Tzibur hu guf mishpati she'eino toli ba'anashim misuyamim. He says that even if the individuals create the tzibur, but the tzibur now becomes a separate independent entity, which is chai v'kayim li'olam v'ed, but he says that doesn't apply in the case of a chevra. Where do we find any basis for the concept of, or the recognition halachically of a chevra as a tzibur? I mean, you're creating something from nowhere. Again, even though the Rugged Shavuot did create something from nowhere, but he's not willing to do so. And for example, you have a status of Bnei Ha'ir. If, let's say, the city, you know, invests money after collecting the taxes, the city invests money in a bridge, or I don't know, whatever ownership rights they have, parks and so forth, then the Bnei Ha'ir are partners in anything owned by the city. That's become shutfis. That's not tzibur. And I don't understand exactly what he quotes here for the Minchas Yitzchak. I don't know if you heard of the Minchas Yitzchak. He was the Greivit here of the Badatz. He was a great Rav in England, but at the major chunk of his life, he was here in Yerushalayim. He writes that any tzibur can grant bailus to each individual member of the tzibur. I don't know where he's coming from. That's the honest truth. And if you have a chance to research this, but he writes that chevrat minayot, any company that has shareholders, lo garam yizeh, enochinami, he's willing to accept the concept of the tzibur, but he insists that there's bailus on the part of every member of the tzibur. So again, Rav Dyachovsky is being accused of identifying and defining a company as a tzibur. However, if you look in his opinion that he presents here and formulates in the Psak Din Rabbani, he quotes a Mishnah in Masechet Bechoros. The Mishnah in Masechet Bechoros speaks about Tfusas Habayis, not about a tzibur. And it says that there's a Hagdarama Monit Bein Moves Shalamorish Leben Chalukas HaYerusha. There's a special unique definition that the Halacha recognizes and categorizes that period of time between the death of the father and the division of the estate. And during that period of time, the entire family of heirs are what's called a Tfisas Habayis. They're one entity that's indivisible. It's not Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or the combination thereof. It's a new entity. And I mentioned to you before that according to the Rashbam, no single member of the heirs of the Yorshim has rights to sell his share because no one owns a share. It's owned by the entire bias. I mean, Moshel Amad Dovadom, the Rambam Shita is that Ner Chanukah is not a particular individual responsibility. You don't have to light Ner Chanukah. The bias has to light Ner Chanukah. Or, for example, it could be even an Er Shabbos. There's no one particular individual who's chayv in Er Shabbos. It's the bias that has to see to it that there's an Er Shabbos. In any event, I think you may have been there when I discussed some of this in the shiur. But getting back to our discussion, Rav Dyachovsky writes, Hahanacha she'ein shum efsharut lechadesh gidrei bailus shalom atzinu b'Shabbos. He says that all those who disagree with this definition, according to which the halacha recognizes the status of a company as a separate entity, they claim, well, we can't create a new definition of ownership that we don't find in Shas. He says, "Hi hanacha bilvad v'lo lahalacha." He says such a premise is a very interesting premise, but it has no halachic significance whatsoever. And why is that so? How can we come up with a new halachic definition of monetary ownership that doesn't appear anywhere in Shas? She Torah, the Torah gives us complete control over Dine Momenus. We can fashion and form Dine Momenus to our liking, the way we agree to do so. And he goes on to quote a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim Tzanzer, about Situmta. And Reb Chaim Tzanzer, the Divrei Chaim, says that even though Eino de Machne Dover Shalom Bal Yolam, I can't sell you futures, but nevertheless, if we make a kinyan Situmta on a future, that kinyan is chal. Ki minaga sochrim yotzer creates musagim chadoshim b'dovashim b'mamon v'hu mevatel halacha. Whatever the Sochrim in the marketplace decide as their accepted custom, that has the ability to trump the Halacha because Masna Mashkos of the Torah, B'Dovash of Moment, Tro Kayim. He says, Valkain Moel Gam B'Mokom She'en Klal Musak Shal Kinyan. They can create something that undermines the very essence of a Kinyan. And therefore, he concludes, Afal Bishlo Matsinu B'Chol Ashas. Musag shel chevra be iravon mukbal lo b'torah v'lo b'chazal. There's nothing that you can find in the Torah that similar precedent. Nothing in Chazal. Nevertheless, efshar litzar musagim chadashim. We can create new concepts. B'dinei momentus bein legabe ayachid. In other words, if I as an individual make a condition that undermines the Torah law in dinei momentus bein al yidei atzibur. Or the tzibur could do so midin situmta, or for example through the mechanism of dina demalchusa dina, and therefore based on this presentation of Rav Dyachovsky, Rav Weiss that we started with says yesh lekabel et mishpat ha'amim. we can recognize and acknowledge the secular law and its definition, which is accepted by all the Ummah Sa'olah. V'cholkai gavna, if you have something that is absolutely unanimously accepted by all the countries in the world, and they all come to identify and recognize the company and its limited liability, vadai dina malchusa dina, in such a case, the law of the land reigns supreme. And therefore, this does not undermine the law of the Torah. Elzeu ikar din Torah. This is the way the Torah operates. Because since this concept of Ba'alut HaChevra, the Chevra is an entity unto itself, independent of its shareholders, is something that is recognized by the secular government of every single Western country, that gives it the Geshpanka, the power of Dina the Malchus Dina. And Rav Yaakov Farbstein comes to the conclusion, do we have another 2 minutes? Of Das Rov HaPoskim, the Ein B'Eretz Yisrael Dina the Malchus Dina. That the rule of Dina Malchus Dina doesn't apply in the land of Israel. In the land of Israel, we have to create a Torah system built on the foundations of Halacha and Torah law. And the one who rejects this whole idea of Dina Malchus Dina in this context is none other than Rav Moshe Sternbach. In a book called Moadim Uzmanim, which you'll see on page 10, and he writes, V'atan isbonei no v'nirish agoyim mekaimim v'roshmi b'bursa chevra b'alut mukbelet. I'm sorry, b'eravon mukbal. Sorry. Halo ritzonam lefi hatakonos b'briach hadosha. What these guys do in the Bursa by registering their companies as limited liability companies, they want to create a new entity. The Anu, but us, Am Yisrael, Ein Lanu Musag Hazeh Klal. We don't recognize these new entities. B'dinei Mamonos. The Efshal Lanu Liatzro, and we cannot create it. Ki Mishpatei Dinei Mamonos Etzleinu. In the laws that the Torah gave us for monetary momenos is magbilim, they limit schus kinyone momen la'odom chai. We can only grant rights to someone who's alive. V'lochal kai gavna kinyon, and you cannot create such a valid kinyon mikach dina malchus dina neged din Torah. So basically he rejects everything that we've been saying until now, and he adds, V'gam poshut, t'kishem she'efshar litzar yeshus mishpatit chadasha mikoch din malchus adina, kalvachom she'efshar litzar mikoch minhag ositumta, musag chadash she'eno kayam bidin Torah. We cannot use Situmta to create a new entity that the Torah doesn't recognize. Meaning, I could sell you with a Situmta, according to the Rechaim that we saw before, a Dovah Shalom Balola, meaning there could be Das Makne through Situmta, but to create a whole new entity of ownership that doesn't comply with the laws of ownership as the Torah recognizes it, is Situmta Enel Enel Ofen Osaf Shal Kamiris Das, but Lo Sheyesh Koach. The power of a minhag, of handshake, or whatever the situmta is not great enough to create a whole new concept of ownership according to halacha. And therefore, basically what he's saying is it's impossible to accept and embrace this opinion that there's a new category of bailus in Dini Mominis which is applicable to a company. And what Rav Cohen writes, and with this we'll conclude, he says, "Laniyas daiti tzorach in gadol b'chol ze sharei poshut she efshal chadish gidrei v'sidrei bailus shelo matzinu b'torasenu akdosha." In other words, within the law, you can add it tonight, but you can't create a whole new legal system, something that's not at all recognized by the Torah. V'chol matzav mishtanu v'schadish yochol gak likolev. Any new situation that arises in the marketplace, the halacha will respond within the misgeret, within the framework of hayisodot, the fundamentals hakayamim that the Torah recognizes. Af amnam, even though pa'amim rabot we find on poskim din al pi minog shen is pashe, amnam zerak nachon bashel l'totza'at halacha l'maisa. In other words, in terms of the way the halacha is going to apply l'maisa, we can go by minog. You know, for example, what's considered, you know, wages, you know, fair wages, so we can say the minog decides what's wages. Ulam, however, ein bekochol shel minog. You can't tell me that the minog amedina has the power l'chadesh gidrei bailus mechudoshim to actually create new definitions of ownership. And then he writes, v'livro golam chadash, and to create a new golam shel yeshut mishpatit nefredet. So Rabosai, we basically have a split here amongst the poskim, even to our day, all the way through the contemporary poskim, as to whether or not the halacha would recognize the status of a company as a new entity. And therefore it seems to me that at the end of the day we're going to have to say that a company is nothing more than shutfus. It's a kind of a partnership. The limited liability would have to be if the ownership of the shutfim is watered down, as I said at the outset. It's what we call a bailus klusha, which removes liability in achrayus. And why is that bailus klusha? What makes it weak? And the answer is because no individual members of the partnership can really make the decisions as far as the partnership is concerned. As far as the company is concerned, there's a board, there's a panel, there's a group of people that make the decision-making policies. Perhaps the mankal makes certain decisions, but at the end of the day, it's not like a regular shutfis where each shutf has control over the mammon that he owns in terms of his quid pro quo share in the shutfis. And therefore, he says, we could possibly suggest that even according to the approach that Situmta and Minig HaMedina cannot create new rules that undermine the rules and the framework given by the Torah, but nevertheless, within the context of shutfis, we might have a new type of shutfis. But again, it's a shutfis nevertheless. It's a shutfis without personal liability. So Rabosai, this was meant to be an introduction to a very long and complex topic.
How did he get started on the
parsha
with this?
Oh, I think he combines it with the parsha of Karbonos, if I'm not mistaken. If you take a look on page 2, Daber b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon la'shem min ha'be'emin ha'bokim etzon takrivu es karbonom. And Rashi says that even if two people, because it says takrivu in plural, bring a carbon together, he says, shneim misnadvim ola b'shutfis. That's a concept of shutfis. And the Ramban says that there's something called olas shutfim, but there's no such thing as a tzibur offering on a voluntary basis a carbon ola. And then he goes on, the Ramban, to explain the difference between yechidim that organize a shutfis as opposed to tzibur, which is a separate entity, and the korbanos of a tzibur have to be purchased from what's called the lishkas hagazis, which is mamon shel tzibur. And in the Mishnah in Bechoros, when we talk about whether the yorshim achayv and ma'aser behemah before they divvied up the Yerusha, that's called tfusas habayis. And the Mishnah says that pturim heim ma'aser behemah, because in tfusas habayis there's no individual ownership. So I would not connect this necessarily to Parshas Va'era, or I'm sorry, to Parshas Bo, but I would think it would be a great shiur for Parshas Vayikra. I hope you don't mind that I was makdim es ha'meuchar and I gave you a discussion that's very relevant to Parshas Vayikra. Okay, Shkarek, everyone should have a great day, and I hope -2 becomes at least +2. And maybe we'll have, you know, they say that if the tzibur gets together, they can warm each other up on a cold day. So let's hope that we can do that.
Amen.
Amen. All the best.